As announced, the scripture reading will be taken from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief."
Good evening to all of you. It's good to see everyone here this evening as we continue our studies from God's Word to help us to grow and to keep reminding ourselves and seeing the blessings that God has bestowed upon each of us, and that will give him the praise, honor, and glory that he deserves. And may our lives be filled with praise for him because of what he has done for us in sending his son Jesus the Christ to die for us so that we could become children of his. And if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, I want to encourage you as a friend to do so before it's everlasting too late. I invite you to open up your Bibles and study along tonight as we engage in study from God's Word. And if you have any questions, please get with me and talk with me about these things, because they are so important for us to know and understand, because that is God's intent for us to understand these things so that we'll give him our lives and serve him all the days of it. I also want to express my appreciation, and I failed to do that this morning, and that was the appreciation to the Zurica family. I really appreciate spending time with them yesterday evening, and got to be with the men. And one of the things I appreciated about Peter, as he announced that his daughter was the only one there, the only female that was there, and he says, well, since the other females are not here in regards to these husbands with their wives, he says, men, we can eat dessert first if you choose to do so. And that's what some of us did. But I certainly enjoyed that time being with all the guys and getting to know them and meet them. And it has been just a wonderful start to the meeting. And because of you and the kind things that you have said and the encouraging words that you have extended to me, and I really appreciate that. I also appreciate Matt. The young Matt came up to me this morning as he thought about the lesson, and he said that he had thought about Jesus also being the one who had asked the Father, if it's all possible, let this cup pass from me. And it was the will of God that he drink from the cup and thereby provide eternal life for us. And so he thought of that, and I really appreciate him bringing that to my attention, because when I do that lesson again, I'm going to add that to it. You see, that's what it's all about, for us growing in the grace and knowledge of God and encouraging one another. And if I can get you to think about these things, I will have accomplished my task, to think on those things of high and holy, so that you will give God the glory. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and that's where the text will begin in our discussion tonight. And as was read to us from that text, as the apostle brought to the attention of Timothy, when he said to them in reference to, he says, I thank Christ Jesus, as pointed out to us when we read these passages. He says, who has strengthened me. And I want us to really think about what the apostle is doing here when he writes this to Timothy. And he points out to Timothy, he says, you know, God put me in the service. And when you really think about God putting me in the service, that shows tremendous mercy. Why does that show tremendous mercy? Paul said, I persecuted. I was a violent aggressor of God's people. And here he extended mercy to me because I did these things in ignorance. Do you see what the apostle is doing? He is expressing his heart of gratefulness to the Lord. And he's letting Timothy know about these things. He is opening up about his past. And he's showing the reason why he has the attitude that he has in serving the Lord. That he is willing to risk his life. He is willing to give it. Why? Because God showed him mercy. He acted in ignorance. He was ignorant of the way of Christ. He had tossed men and women who professed to be followers of the Lord in prison. And I imagine some of them even lost their lives because of that persecution that he was in charge of and leading. And he says he sees the mercy of God. I was a blasphemer. Now I'm no longer a persecutor. I am a proclaimer of that truth. What a heart. What a change that has taken place in this man. And what you begin to learn in regards to what Paul is bringing to our attention, and that is that Paul says, I did it because I was ignorant. In other words, I didn't understand. Even though he should have, because of his upbringing and the fulfillment of the scriptures, the Old Testament writings concerning the Christ who would come and be the servant that God said would take place. But he says, I didn't understand. He says, I didn't even recognize. I was unacquainted with that aspect. Instead, I tried to wipe it out. But then when the truth was revealed to him, he changed. And what he's pointing out to Timothy is to encourage Timothy that he was put in the service. And Timothy, do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid to serve God. He was with me and he will be with you. What encouraging words given to this young man, Timothy, to do the work of preaching the gospel and working with the brethren there at Ephesus. When you read the background about the area of Ephesus, you could see why Timothy would need encouraging. And the reason why it was a port city that had all kinds of people coming in and out from every walk of life. And there was even the false worship of the goddess Diana. And here is this young man, Timothy, comparative to Paul. He is then left there to work with those brethren, to help them to grow. And so Paul is encouraging him. But also Paul is pointing out the things that I did them in ignorance. And when you really think about it, the sins that you and I have committed, we did them in ignorance. We did not know the impact that it would have on our lives. In fact, we thought and recognized sin was just being normal. That was just a normal way of life. Because that may have been all that we have seen or all that we had heard. And so when I began to think about this, I titled the lesson, The Devastating Impact of Ignorance. It is devastating. If we are unaware of what sin does to us, then we will be walking down the path of destruction. The nature of sin is destroy everything in its path. Destroy relationships. When you go back to the book of Genesis, that's exactly what you see there. Sin destroyed the relationship. Sin destroyed the relationship that man had with God. Remember, he was described by God when he looked over his creation after he had finished it. He said, it was very good. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? They were cast out of the garden. It destroyed the relationship. It even destroyed the environment. Now you have man against man, where later on you find a brother rising up and slaying his brother. Wow, isn't that something? That's what sin does. It is very devastating. And here we're seeing this, and Paul is pointing out that's where he was as he persecuted the people of God. He was doing it in ignorance. When you look throughout the scriptures, we learn some very valuable lessons about the devastating impact of sin and ignorance here. In Psalms chapter 73, the psalmist writes about a situation in reference to his life. And what he is doing, he is looking around and he is seeing the prosperity of the wicked. And he points that out in Psalm 73. He says in verse 1, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." He says, "But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped." In verse 3, "For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death and their body is fat." In other words, they are prospering. And he sees this. And he says, "I almost stumbled." Why is that? Because he is on the outside looking in. He doesn't realize, or he was forgetting about the reality of life. And he says in verse 6, as he begins to realize that, he says, "Therefore pride is their necklace. And he says, "And the garment of violence covers them." What is he saying? What is he pointing out? He is pointing out in regards to the idea of ignorance. What ignorance does to us, when you begin to look at those passages, it blinds us to the reality of life. That's what it does. Ignorance blinds us to the dangers. It blinds us to that path of destruction that we're on. We're thinking that everything is okay. We're thinking that this is the norm of life. And the psalmist is saying, "I almost slipped when I started looking at the wicked. It was, they are prospering. Maybe that's just the way it is." Ignorance will do that. It will blind us to the reality. That reality that we are traveling down this path of destruction. He is thinking, or almost in the being deceived into thinking, that all is well with the wicked. You've heard the statement, if you can't beat them, what? Join them. Yes, that's the world's philosophy. If they are successful in doing those things that are wrong, and thereby, if they're successful, well, it must be okay to do. And let me get mine in as well. And so we start reaching and grabbing, and we're being blinded to the reality that we're traveling down the path of death. This is what the psalmist was struggling with. Look down there in verse 16. In verse 16 of 73, he says, "When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight." And then he says, "Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end." Do you see what the psalmist has just told us? It is not until he enters into the sanctuary of God that he realizes that what they are doing is death. If he had not entered into the sanctuary of God, he would have been deceived and blinded to the reality of that death. That is what the Word of God does for us. It opens our eyes to the truth And we get to see things as they really are, to help us to avoid the pitfalls of destruction. Many people are turning away from reading God's word. Why? Well, the Bible is outdated. Well, the Bible goes against what I think is right. And because individuals are thinking that way, they therefore are blinded to the destruction and death. But when they open up God's word, they will be able to see where they stand. That if they die in that situation, they will be eternally lost. And that is the reality. Look at Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, here is Paul at Mars Hill. He is in the Mecca of learning in Athens. That's where he is. And as he's passing through, what he sees is something that causes him to pause. He sees that they have built these inscriptions to the various gods as they understood. And then when he comes to this one which has the inscription to the unknown God, the apostle pauses and he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up their eyes so that they will know who the true and living God is. And notice what he says in verse 23. He says, for while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Paul is letting us know the devastating impact of ignorance is you and I will end up worshiping in ignorance. You see, worshiping God, if we're going to do it properly, it's not a hit and miss thing. God has told us, he has revealed to us in his word of what he requires of us to give him the true worship. And it begins with our whole heart. They need to know who this God is. They need to know what this God requires of them so that they will obey and thereby worship him accordingly. As long as they are unaware of who God is, they're going to worship in ignorance. And we could be like that too. We could worship God in ignorance, not knowing what he requires. One of the big battles that had taken place in regards to worshiping God, some might come in the assembly and say, well, why don't you have instruments of music? You know, this congregation is large enough to be able to afford a piano. You got enough people that you can have a band. Why don't you do that? The reason why we don't do that is because of what God has instructed us in his word. God has told us he wants us to sing. And that's exactly what we did. Yes. He instructed us to sing praises. And someone might say, well, you know, that instrument really makes it sound better. That is not what God has required of us. God required us to sing. And to sing with thankfulness in our hearts. And that's what we did. And if it's good enough for God, it sure is good enough for me. You see. But some people are not satisfied. They're going about life worshiping God according to what they think and what they want. And they end up worshiping God in ignorance. Which is unacceptable to God. as we studied about authority this morning in regards to God and his authority with Nadab and Abihu. God had told them where to get the fire from. And that's exactly what God wanted. And so when Nadab and Abihu brought in the strange fire, they were consumed by fire from heaven. Why? Because they didn't honor God. When we sing with our whole heart, with thankfulness in it, and we do not need the instruments of music because God has told us just to sing, and we do, we have worshiped God in spirit and truth. Why don't we do the other things? You know, there's a lot of very smart women in the congregation. Why don't you have women preachers? Well, God has told us. He has instructed us of the men doing this. Well, why don't you have, you know, you have some very powerful women in the, why don't you have she elders? No, God has given the qualifications for all of that, you see. Why do you have elders? Why are elders or bishops or pastors, as the terms are applied to these men who would lead the congregation? The reason why? Because God has told us what their qualifications are. God has set the order. And we worship God and we order our lives according to his will so that we will not worship him in ignorance. Because it's devastating. And so it's important for us to make sure that we are following God's word, that this is not a hit and miss situation. Knowing full well, as Brother Don mentioned in the announcement of what John chapter 4 and what Jesus spoke to with the woman at the well, worshiping in spirit and truth according to what God has revealed to us. Here's another situation. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn over there. As I had mentioned in connection with Paul writing to Timothy, encouraging Timothy in the work that he would be doing at Ephesus, notice what Paul points out in reference to this letter as he talks about those who are outside of Christ. And notice the impact as he brings this to their attention in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. It is there, as the apostle points out. He says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding." That's ignorance there. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. The devastating impact of ignorance causes us to be excluded from the life of God. That's devastating. You see, God is the source of life in every sense of the word. It is where you and I, when we obey the gospel of Christ and we are united with him in baptism, in other words, what Paul is pointing out when he expressed that to the Roman Christians, we have plugged into the source of life and now we should be active, living for the Lord, doing his will in our lives. But if we're outside, or if we do not grow in our understanding and knowing our God, then you and I will end up being excluded from the life of God, or the life that is concerned with God. And we will live our own lives and then we'll end up missing out, because the true reality is that God is pleased with those who have united themselves with him. They're plugged in. And Paul is bringing this to the attention of the brethren there, and he's encouraging them not to walk like the Gentiles walk. And the reason why is they are walking in the vanity of their mind, empty. You see, without God, that's the way life is. It's empty. And what a sad life that is, a life that's empty. Why do you think individuals do some of the things that they do? They are ignorant of what true life is about. And so what they try to do is they try to fill themselves up with, you know, as mom would say, junk food. Things that will not help us to grow, but instead those things that destroy us. I am convinced that the reason why many individuals engage in drug use or abuse is they're trying to fill their lives up with that is empty, that part that is empty. And they know it's empty, and they're trying to look for some kind of fulfillment, and they can't find it, so they fill it up thinking that the drugs will do so. But all it does, it creates more problems. It makes, as it says here, it is devastating to those lives. Their lives are being destroyed. They don't see the reality. They think that they're okay, but it's temporary. Their lives are wasting away. That's the devastating impact of ignorance. A life that is excluded from God is a sad, empty, hopeless life. It is not until you and I come to know God and join ourselves with Him, and then He fills us up. Look earlier, look back there, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice the picture of God's people. People who have obeyed the gospel, that are joined to Him, and he, as the scriptures is telling us, that Jesus is the head. And it says, and He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. That's His people, those who have obeyed the gospel. He says, which is His body, the fullness of Him who does what? Who fills all in all. You want to have a fulfilling life? You want to be filled up? You want to fill up that empty void spot in your heart and in your mind? Turn to the Christ. You see, He will fill you up. And when Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 there, and he talked about God putting him into service, Paul is saying, He filled me up. My life is complete. Even though I was a blasphemer, even though I was a persecutor, a violent aggressor. And notice what he does. Being filled up with Christ, he is serving the Lord. He is included in the life of God. But if he had continued to dwell in ignorance, he would have been excluded from the life of God. Here's something else. In connection with the devastating impact. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 14. When Peter writes to the Christians there, he is preparing them for the suffering that they're going to engage. And one of the reasons why that they need to be prepared for the suffering. Sometimes it's going to get intense. And the question might arise in their mind and in their heart as you're going, as one is going through the suffering, is it worth it? Peter's telling them, yes, it's worth it. And he's encouraging them to look back at their lives when they obeyed the gospel. He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. When you look back at that former lust, it was destructive. It was a lust that was unsatisfying. It was the lust of destruction. That's what happens the addicted one, his life is being eaten up. The ones who give themselves over to the ways of the world, which we're going to talk about tomorrow evening. The one who gives himself to the ways of the world, that individual is in an arena of an unsatisfying lust. It just destroys, doesn't fulfill. That's the devastating impact of ignorance. If you don't know God, we need to desire God. We need to desire His way, His word, and allow Him to work in us as we encounter individuals on a daily basis to encourage them to serve the Lord. That is a task worthwhile. That is a life worth living. You see. And so ignorance is very devastating. One more. Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, the Holy Spirit has come upon the disciples and they are preaching the gospel. And they're being challenged by the Jewish council. And they're being threatened in connection to these things. But when you drop down and as Peter preaches to them about their situation, I want you to notice what he says there in verses 14 and 15. He says, "But you disown the holy and righteous one and ask for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses." What are we learning from chapter 3, verses 14 and 15? What was he saying to them? He is showing them the devastating impact of ignorance causes us to make poor choices. That's what it does. They chose a murderer over the Prince of Life. Isn't that something? They chose a murderer over the Prince of Life. Someone who came to do them good. They rejected. They wanted a murder. Give us Barabbas. Yeah. They chose a murderer. And this is what Peter is pointing out. He's putting it right in their lap. And they're learning that they made a poor choice. And they don't like that. They didn't like that. What he did. How many of us have cast aside the Christ who has provided salvation for a moment's pleasure of sin? See? How many of us have desired the riches of this world instead of the riches of God? You see the poor choices? Ignorance. How many of us have chosen to abort babies for a temporary career? That's our society. Our society is making poor choices. Why are they making poor choices? Because of the impact of ignorance. They're doing it out of ignorance. They do not realize what they are doing, that they are bringing upon themselves the wrath of God. They're bringing upon themselves the heartaches and the heartbreaks of life. And how many of us have chosen to know more about this world and everything else and not know about our Creator? Poor choices. That's the devastating impact of ignorance. Do you realize if I choose God, and if I never got another cent in this world, I have it all? Because of who God is. Because of what awaits those who are faithful. See, a lot of people don't understand that. And you and I, as His people, are to be out there and encouraging them and making known to them the way of God so that they will make the right choice and serve Him. Yes, we cannot choose for them. We can only choose for ourselves. And hopefully, as we choose the Lord, that we may have an impact on our friend. We may have an impact on our neighbors. We may have an impact on our families to make the right choices. Even as they see us struggle through life in service to the Lord, that they too will learn that the right choice was made because God shined upon our hearts and eradicated and moved away the frontiers of ignorance. And let us see Him for who He is and see the reality of life. May we have the attitude that the apostle expressed there in 1 Timothy, that we'll thank God who has provided us salvation to make us His child so that we could serve Him. What a merciful God He is. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. I want to make known to you, if you don't know what the gospel is, I want to make known what the gospel is. The gospel is about the life of Christ, the demands of God for our lives. And then, as we become a child of His, as we are united with Him, it is a life filled with hope and gladness. You see, it is about obeying that gospel. You see, Jesus told His disciples, He says, you go and you preach the gospel to the whole creation, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And when a person is baptized into Christ, they are forgiven of their sins. You see, we committed a crime against God when we sin. And since we committed a crime against God when we sin, we need forgiveness. And God has provided where you and I can be forgiven. And that's what Acts chapter 2, verse 38 points out. John chapter 3, as Jesus was conversing with Nicodemus, He points out to Nicodemus, we are born again. We can start anew. Isn't that hopeful? Don't we all wish we had that reset button? Yeah. God says you can in Christ Jesus. And we are united. We're plugged in to the One who fills all and is in all. Won't you obey Him tonight before it's everlasting too late? All things are ready. We're your friends. We're here to help you. And so if we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.